Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Writer's Block Radio Show. We are here in the studio. I'm Bobby Jean with my guest, Joe Harrington, live. We'll be speaking to Joe in just a couple moments. We send out a big howdy to the man, Jim Christina, our host, who is once again not able to be with us tonight. And we know, Jim, you're listening, and we look forward to, I think you might be calling in a little bit later. So you are listening to the Writer's Block, and we thank you so much for tuning in. This is where readers and writers meet, and we have a great time talking with our guests, and tonight we'll also be listening to some music. Joe, I'm going to say hi to you.
Well, hello, Bobby.
It's great to have you here.
It's good to be back. It really is.
Yeah, you haven't been with us for a bit, so it'll be fun to catch up with you. At the moment, though, I'm going to do a little shout-out to those that make this show possible. And the first is Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley. And the nice folks at Black Dog Publishing know how to work with new writers. Perhaps you're working on your first or second book and looking for guidance on writing or editing or publishing. Give Black Dog Publishing a call at 805-795-3165. We also want to let you know about Target Freight. Since 2009, Target Freight has had a full truckload service that's the best in the industry. They go to great lengths to secure the most competitive rates possible. TFM also provides unmatched customer support from our dedicated truckload division. In an effort to streamline the customers for overall shipping efficiency, TFM provides real-time updates on all lanes. Call TFM today at 1-844-653-7789 and tell them you heard this on the Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra just for you. And if you are an LTL shipper, we know you are looking for the best rates with the least hassle. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just the ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 1-888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web for both truckload and LTL. Call today, you won't be disappointed. And we also want to give a quick shout out to Out West, your online source for top brands that are a reflection of the equestrian and Western lifestyle. Shop for unique and distinctive apparel, boots, hats, fashion, accessories, home decor, and more. National brands include the Scully Leather Company, Rockmount Ranchwear, Dan Post Boots, American West Handbags, just to name a few. Go to www.scvoutwest.com and enter WB100 to receive $10 off your order. Well, Joe, who's joining us on the phone in a couple of minutes?
Oh, you got Mary Kay. We got a real treat there.
We sure do, and we're going to talk to her in a minute, but I thought it would be so fun to play one of Mary Kay's original songs. This is one of my favorites and a great way to kick off this evening. So take a listen to Girl Meets West.
Did you come looking for the girl next door? Well, Well, she don't live here anymore. She's got money for her pocket, a Bible for her soul, gas in the tank and a wide open road. Why she don't work 9 to 5 is your best guess. That's just what happens when girl needs wits. Someday she'll motor to your hometown, tune up her six string, throw some music down. Songs like bullets that will pierce your pain, make you feel all back in the saddle again. If you start feeling clammy, a shortness of breath, she's put you into cowboy cardiac arrest. Boy meets girl, girl meets guitar. Pretty soon she's swinging on a Dale Evans star. Started singing for the money, stayed in for the fun. This cowgirl knows how the West is done. Sunrise out on the reds, Black Highway 50 with the sky of Nevada red. West Texas evening swapping tunes and passing time. Alberta plains north of the Medicine Line. She'll just hit her rig north and take a sharp turn left. That's just what happens when girl meets west. Genoa, Lubbock, Prescott, and Campman and Elko. She'll go to Lewistown, Alpine, Heber, and Durango. Grab a hot dog and a rock star on her way through Mesquite. Cause every girl knows you are what you eat. Any place folks talk cowboy is her new address. That's just what happens when girl meets west.
Welcome back to the Writer's Block, and we are so happy that you have joined us. That was Girl Meets West by Mary Kay, a singer-songwriter. Always we want to honor writers of all types and genres on this show. Happy to have Mary Kay with us. Mary Kay, are you there?
I am. Thank you for having me on your show, Bobby. I'm so excited.
I absolutely love that song.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun to write.
Is it a little biographical?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me just say a little something about our guest, Mary Kay, a native-born Texan, and as a young woman, she ventured off to Utah, where she married her a cowboy. She now resides in the small western town of Escalante. Are you still in Escalante? Or did you move?
We are.
Oh, okay. 140-year-old ranching community in southern Utah. She's been married to her husband, Brad, for 30 years, and they have 10 children. Mary Kay has received wide recognition for her singing and songwriting and travels extensively performing her unique brand of Western music. And Joe here is going to say a quick howdy to you too, Mary Kay.
Hello, Mary Kay. I sure am looking forward to this coming Wednesday.
Oh, I am too, Joe. It's going to be, I haven't seen you since Albuquerque, so it's going to be a really fun night.
Yeah, I think it will. And we've got a sold-out crowd, so it's going to be wonderful.
In the studio, Joe, this is Joe Harrington, and he's a nationally and internationally known cowboy poet and storyteller. And he is a returning guest to this show, and we're so delighted to have both Mary Kay and Joe with us tonight. And they're talking about a concert coming up this Wednesday night that is sold out. Joe, tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind the concert you two have put together.
Well, the inspiration was you gave me a call and said that you wanted to have something to kick off the festival. And you asked me if I would do that, and I was very appreciative of that. And then I called you back, and I said, can I invite somebody? And you very graciously said yes. And so I got on the call to Mary Kay. And she said yes, and so it was off and running from there.
And we're delighted. Mary Kay has been part of our concert series, I think, 3 times, but we have not seen her in a couple of years live in Santa Clarita, and we're just so delighted to have the two of you with us. Mary Kay, you have recently won, you've won a tremendous number of awards. And you do write mostly all original music. Can you tell us a little bit about what inspires the music that you write?
You know, I'm an observer. I really do spend a lot of time listening and observing what's going on around me. And I keep extensive journals and notebooks, and I'm always writing things down, always. And occasionally, some of those thoughts come together and present themselves as a song. And it's usually one specific thing that really comes together to inspire, and then everything's kind of built around the one idea. So that's kind of my process for writing. And I always honor a creative thought by writing it down, because it can be years later that I'm looking through a notebook and a certain phrase would be perfect in that particular song. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we have to really honor the creativity that comes to us by giving it a place with the written word. And it always proves out to be, not always, I shouldn't say that. Sometimes I'll write things down and I'm like, oh, that was truly stupid. But occasionally it can be used.
Joe, what would you say?
You know, as I was listening to Mary Kay, I was thinking, that's exactly what I do. I have notebooks, but I've also got, my iPhone is just full of phrases and events and things, and like Mary Kay, some of those things are years old, but you know what? I never throw anything away, ever, when it comes to something like that, because it's a seed for an idea. Mm-hmm. And I always find out that at some point in time, it comes back as something valuable. You know, mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm traveling, I'll be on a plane, and I'll just open that up, and I'll start reading through those. And boy, something will jump out at me. And I remember when my dad used to say, you know what, we always say that we're going to remember that, but we never do.
Yeah.
So I immediately write it down, because you know what, if you don't write it down in like a minute, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Because some things are just that way. And you don't know how to get them back. But if you get them written down, then you can call on them, and then you can begin to write. And sometimes you just start with that one seed, and that's all it takes. And then as you start with that one seed, other things come to mind. And generally, so many of those other things that you've written down, you find a place for them in that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary Kay, you write a lot of your songs yourself, but you've also collaborated. You collaborated with Les Buffum on a wonderful song that I'd like to do. We may not be able to play all the way through. I hope you'll be okay if occasionally I fade a song out, just so we get more time to listen to great music.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
But I would love to have you talk to us a little bit about No Wilder Place, which won the 2012 Western Music Association Song of the Award. Tell us a little bit about that song, and then we're going to go ahead and play some of it.
Well, it's a perfect example of collaboration and how that can be a win-win, and how occasionally when you work with somebody else, 2 plus 2 or 1 plus 1 equals 5 or 10, because he sent me the lyrics, and I kept them with my songwriting notes. And one day I was working on a melody, and his lyrics just really fit perfectly with the melody. So I sent him the rough draft, and he continued to refine that with the lyrics. And it really was a process of several months of going back and forth and making sure every word was perfect. And it really paid off in a very beautiful song, been able to touch a lot of people's lives. So that's the power of collaboration. It doesn't always work out, but This time it sure did in a big way.
So this is No Wilder Place, the title track from a CD of the same name, and we're listening to Mary Kay.
There is no wilder place.
back with Mary Kay and Joe Harrington. We've just been listening to an award-winning song, No Wilder Place by Mary Kay. Welcome back. Are you still with us? Excellent.
That's a pretty song. I never listened to it.
Oh,
I'm
my
like, wow,
God.
Wow, it's so beautiful.
You know, one of the challenges, Mary Kay, in prepping for this evening was I revisited, you know, all of your music. When we first met, you were kind of just getting started. That first year, you won the Crescendo Award. And, you know, we've just watched you just grow and blossom. And your voice, I think it was Rick Hough that says, makes a comment, a reviewer, music reviewer, that talks about just what your voice can do. It can be so bluesy, but it can be so swing and, you know, ballad. And You just absolutely capture it. What do you think, Joe, about Mary Kay's voice?
I think it's an amazing voice. I really do, because you can do so much, Mary Kay. You can do so much with your voice. And I think in terms of, well, one of my favorites, Jealous of the Moon. I listen to what you do with your voice in that song, and I'm just spellbound by that. And somebody will be coming up, and I'll say, listen to this song. And they'll be amazed, too, because it really is a unique thing.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
I know that you're both inspired by history in your writing. And Mary Kay, I'm going to shift this a little bit to Joe for right now. Joe, I know, talk a little bit maybe about growing up and the people that have influenced you. And then we want to talk about a very special piece you have.
Well, I grew up in West Texas, and I grew up at the feet of storytellers. My uncle and my grandfather, and all of my uncles, in fact, they just talked in stories. And every evening we would finish the day and sit around their rocking chair or around a campfire or just wherever. But all the kids couldn't wait to listen to what they had to say. And I grew up thinking that every kid must have that, because it was natural to me. And I found out later that that wasn't the case. But I had such a rich surrounding to grow up with. These were men and women whose character was just as solid as steel, and they were wonderful mentors for me. And I learned from them. I learned all my life lessons from them. And later in life, I realized, you know what, these kids today are not getting that. And so my turn in my career was when I decided that I'm going to write my material from the life lessons that I have so I can pass it on to the next generation. And so that's kind of what I do. All my material is based on life lessons. What happened to me when I was growing up that I can tell somebody else about so they don't make the same mistakes I made, and so that they can learn from the kind of people I learned from. And that's kind of the inspiration for my writing, because I have so much to draw on.
And you do perform at storytelling events. You're where known partly as a cowboy poet, but also you are known as a storyteller.
Yes, I do national and international events. This past year, I did the Timpanogos Festival in Salt Lake City, which is a monstrous festival. And then right after that, I did Jonesboro, Tennessee, which is the biggest one. And it was, you know, those festivals are amazing. You'll go to those places and they'll head up four or five big circus tents, and each tent will have like 1,000 people in them. And then on the stage will be a storyteller. And you think, wow, all of these people can just be mesmerized by one person. And the whole weekend is like that. Mm-hmm. And so I feel very fortunate to be able to go around and do that. And this summer I'm a storyteller in residence in Jonesboro, Tennessee in July. And I'm looking forward to doing that. We have there's a matinee every single day. So it's an awful lot of material that you have to have, but it is such fun. And you're meeting with, you know, the genre, the people that follow this genre, whether it be the storytelling or the Western music, are a whole different class of people. These are the kind of people that pick up their own trash. They straighten their chairs after a concert. These are good, red-blooded American people that, it's just such fun to be with them. I remember the first time I did a show with Mary Kay, we were up in Vinton.
We have a phone call.
Oh, we do. Let's take it.
I think so. Let's see if I can get it this time.
You got it.
Ah! Who's calling, please? Enter and sign in.
Will you walk in and sign in, please?
This sounds like Mr. Jim Christina. Are you joining us, Jim?
It is indeed. It is indeed. Hi, Bobby.
Hi, Jim. We miss you here.
I miss being there. Hello, Joe. How are you?
Oh, hi. It's good to hear from you.
Great to hear you, too. Sit up closer to your microphone.
Oh, good. We're getting some tips.
Hi, Mary Kay.
Let's see now. Can Mary Kay hear you? I don't know. She's on hold.
Oh.
I don't know how to... how do I bring her back so she can hear you?
You'd have to check. Just yell at Ronan and he'll come in and do it for you.
Well, we'll let her know that you were trying to reach her.
Yeah, just say howdy for me, too.
Okay, sounds good. So will you be back with us?
I'm sending a coffee mug out to you tomorrow to give to her next Wednesday.
Perfect. And do you think you'll be with us back next Thursday?
I will be, and I'll have books from, of course, I'm bringing Margaret Brownlee with me.
Yes. Wonderful.
And then I will have books from Richard Polinelli, myself, and probably Margaret's as well.
Okay. Well, and of course, Jim, what are you talking about that you're bringing books? What are you telling us about?
Oh, the Cowboy Festival on the 22nd and 23rd, of course, in Santa Clarita.
We want to see if we can get Mary Kay on. Ronan just walked in. We'll see if we can get Mary Kay connected to you. Oh, merge calls. Oh, hello. Okay, let's see. We're going to see if we can get Mary Kay added. This is why we need Ronan.
That's right.
Because I'm really lost. I'm lost without you, Jim.
Well, that's okay. I'm lost without you too, Bobby.
And while he's, we're seeing, I think if we, Mary Kay, do we have you back?
I'm back.
Oh, yeah. Yay. We tried to merge calls. We had host Jim Christina was calling in and on the line. Let's see. Jim, can you hear Mary Kay?
I can. Hi, Mary Kay. How are you?
Hi, great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you know, it was truly my pleasure, and I wish I could have been in there with you. I don't know if Bobby Jean told you what happened, but, you know, a little bit of stupid and a little bit of just not paying attention goes a long way.
I'll remember that.
Yeah, and you know, Mary Kay, there's a song in there. He'll have to tell you what happened, because I know there's a great song in there.
Oh, there is. Well, listen to next week's show, and I'll tell all of our listeners.
That sounds good. All right.
That's a deal.
So, yes, next week we have Margaret Brownlee with us participating at the Santa Clarita Cowboy Festival, and I will also be bringing Almeda Bradshaw. And
That's right. That's next week, huh?
Yeah, she's going to join us as well. She's performing throughout the weekend, and she'll be with us in the bookshop and on the Out West stage. So it'll be really fun to have Almeda here. Yeah.
Okay. Looking forward to it.
All right. So
I look like they opened a shotgun up in my face, but that's okay. Other than that, I'm getting there.
Well, you'll just fit right in, you know.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Yeah. Besides radio, it doesn't matter, right?
That's true. Well, yes, but at the Cowboy Festival, I'll still look like I've been shot in the face with a buckshot.
You'll just look like you should be starring in a Western film.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I'm going to see if I can disconnect you now, Jim, without disconnecting everybody.
All you have to do is hit the red phone underneath me, and Joe, write another book.
Okay.
When? I can't find the time.
Hey, we'll see you at your festival. We'll see you at the festival, pal.
Excellent.
All right, Jim, we'll talk to you soon. Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mary Kay.
Bye-bye.
That was our host, Jim Christina, that just was with us. And we're going to go ahead. Joe, why don't you, I know I interrupted your train of thought. Do you remember where you were in your train of thought?
It doesn't really matter. I was I was talking about the people that follow the kind of things that we do. And I remember I was doing the show with Mary Kay up in Venton. And I walked out for intermission, and the dinner show, and the dinner was served by the 4-H and FFA kids. And I walked outside during intermission, and the kids, not a one of them had an electronic game. They were all playing hide-and-seek there in the field. And I thought, this is so neat. And the people were just down-home, friendly, red-blooded American people who just loved the kind of stuff we were doing. Mm-hmm. They're so... those are the kind of crowds that we get to go mm-hmm. and visit, and it's so refreshing. Mm-hmm. It makes you realize, you know, there are good people everywhere.
Yes, there are.
But you get in this bubble around L.A., and you forget that.
Well, the news doesn't show it to us either. You know, we don't see it, what really exists.
Right.
You know. I'd love you to tell us a little bit about the piece, because we are going to do this very special piece that you wrote and performed. Tell us about The Greatest Generation.
Well, I was actually coming back from Albuquerque one year on the train. And I got to the train station, and there was an old man there that seemed to be in the way of all these young kids. And they were kind of giving him a hard time. And he looked like a derelict there, you know. And my first impression of him wasn't very good. He looked dirty. He looked wore out. He looked like he wasn't paying attention to anything. But yet he was being pestered by those old kids. So I walked over because I was going to maybe try to get him away from him. And then I looked down and I saw this buckle that he was wearing. And I just sat down and I started talking to him. And I realized that my first impression was really, really wrong. And so on the way home, I kept thinking about that. And I wanted to write about that because I realized we make first impressions sometimes that are so wrong. And so this is the result of that incident.
So we're now listening to The Greatest Generation by Joe Harrington.
I pulled in tired and weary, desperate to make a stop, needing just what I knew I'd find at Katie's coffee shop. On a stool at the end of the counter, an old man was sitting there in a denim jacket, old blue jeans, boots, and straggly hair. I made a quick assessment, had him pegged a bum. No doubt he's begging coffee and whatever else might come. Probably a no-account drifter who'd long outlived his use. Bet he'd bummed for 40 years and had some lame excuse. But his eyes were closed and restful like he's 100 miles away. A remembering look marked his face with some distant, better day. Well, I sat down, slow and easy, not wanting to intrude or make a noise to spoil his thoughts and come across as rude. Now, I'd thought him old and paltry, a victim of neglect. But then I saw his buckle and leaned in with new respect. He wore a silver trophy belt, scuffed and scratched with time. Said Prescott All-Around Champion, 1949. Wow, those things don't come easy, and they sure don't fade with time. Well, he must have been something else, young and in his prime. He stirred then and sensed my presence, and his hat fell to the floor. And there a pin marked Lucky Forward, 1944. Now, I'd been impressed, but now I stunned and stared in total awe. This old man's a legend, not the bum I thought I saw. I said, "You? Spearhead? Patton? You must have been a kid." He quipped, "I should smile. You won't believe the things I did. Fought with him in Belgium. That's how come my leg is lame. Yeah, me and old Blood and Guts. Son, he knew me by my name." Oh, I pelted him with questions about things I'd heard and read, and it pleased him some to note my interest. So he grinned, and then he said, "I cowboyed all West Texas till that day in 41. All us cowboys rode to town. Signed up is what we done. We were six best buddies, still gullible and green, but we were men in those days, sonny, even at 17. We went to war with Patton. Broke the Battle of the Bulge. I lost those pards at Ardennes in ways I can't divulge. Bastogne, across the Rhine and onto Hitler's door, we went faster, farther, deeper than any man before. Got some medals and memories, but the scars to flesh and soul still fester when nights get long and those memories take their toll." Well, I came back and started over, took a wife and settled down. ran some cattle on the home place a few miles out of town. That girl brought my life back like sunshine in summer rain. She kept my heart from festering and took away the pain. She made me what I was meant to be and gave all there was to give. But her last ride was 2 years ago. Now I've lost my will to live. I sat there quietly listening, but it was plain to see what they had done in struggle had cleared the way for me. Well, in what only seemed like minutes, an hour had slipped away, so I stood to leave and shook his hand and left so I could pay. A tattooed kid with a lip ring complained and gave me change. That old man's as old as dirt and more than partly strange. Why, he limps in here time to time, takes that same old stool, never talks up to you, must be a worthless fool. I said, no, kid, that man's a legend. Maybe the last you'll ever see. You do well to get to know him because he's the reason why you're free. Him? He sneered, you lied, man, and looked at me askance. I said, son, when that old man was your age, he was liberating France. And that buckle you see him wearing there, it sets that man apart from the rest of all these wannabes who think they're tough and smart. There sits the greatest generation. They don't crow or brag. They wear humility as honor, but their bravery saved our flag. They quietly walk among us, crippled, old, and deaf. Their legacy is greatness, and very few are left. Soon there'll be no more to honor, and I dread that day to dawn, 'cause they're the greatest generation. And soon they'll all be gone.
That's The Greatest Generation by Joe Harrington here in the studio with us. Joe, it's a fabulous piece.
Well, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate that.
When people hear that, do people come up and chat with you afterwards?
They do. When I did that in Tennessee, the audience was perfect for it. I mean, there were a lot of elderly people in that audience, but when I finished that piece, 1,000 people were on their feet. And they just wouldn't stop talking about that piece because it touched them. I mean, the thing about that piece is it's so right for right now, and I think that's the part that's special about it. They're dying at an amazing rate right now, and we don't have much longer to have them around. And they gave us so much. And the sad part about it is there are so many people who don't even know, don't remember, and don't respect anything about what this generation has done. Mm-hmm. And those who do realize this needs to be talked about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mary Kay, are you still with us? I wanted to be sure I didn't lose her and the phone. Okay, we're going to try to give her a call back. Mary Kay, are you there? Okay, we're going to give her a call back. Sorry about that. I think when I lost Jim, I must have hung up on Mary Kay, too.
Hi there, Bob.
Hi there. I'm sorry that I lost you.
No, it's perfectly fine. I understand.
This is Jim.
Oh, is Jim, are you back?
I am.
Oh, my God.
I hung up, and you guys just called me back.
Oh, I must have called the whole group back. I'll have this figured out sooner or later.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bookie grabbed the phone. She goes, oh, it's LA Talk Radio.
Well, we're having such a wonderful time. Mary Kay, in case you weren't hearing some of that, of course, we just played Joe's Greatest Generation, very much inspired by those that are still with us that have sacrificed so much. And I know that you've looked at history as well, and you have a wonderful piece called Any Name Will Do that's somewhat inspired by history. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, me?
Sure, yeah.
No, Mary Kay.
Oh, Mary Kay. I'm back at the radio.
I don't know how to hang you up, Jim, without hanging up Mary Kay.
Just hit the red phone underneath me.
That's what I did, and I lost Mary Kay.
Oh.
Can you just stay on, or?
I guess.
Okay. So, Mary Kay, tell us about Any Name Will Do.
Well, it's a story song. It tells a true story of Butch Cassidy, and it was really fun to do the research writing the song. And like any song that you do research on, you have way more research than you could ever possibly use. And so I just really tried to condense it down to the theme that, you know, crime never does pay. It does no good to live a life of crime if your name is of no importance anymore. The real name that you were born with is gone, and any name will do. That's kind of the theme of that song, and I think it's the life lesson that Butch himself pulled from his life experiences.
Okay, so we're going to play a little bit of Any Name Will Do by Mary Kay.
Born a sweet-faced boy of a Mormon man in a cabin where the poplars grow. Circleville remains there still, everybody knows. But Robert Leroy Parker is a name you'd not recognize. As Leroy left in 1884, left tears in his mama's eyes. Tears in his mama's eyes. The outlaw trail is wide and winding and whispers to the young. Leroy learned to run an iron, how to ride and use a gun. Tried his hand as a butcher, man, did high time in the penitentiary. From that day to the present, his name lives on in the books of history. It's Butch Cassidy. Where can you run from the things you've done? Saddlebags of gold will never buy back your soul. And what good is fame in the outlaw game when you're going to bed with a price on your head? And who are you when any name will do? Well, all of us had a knack for doing wrong. Old Butch could do it right. Rob Castlegate and broad daylight, escape by pale moonlight. Outlaws gathered around him like moths to a flame. Sundance, Elsie, Ben, and Logan formed themselves again. There was a wild bunch for sure. The funny thing about fire and lesson to be learned. In a soul alive who can survive without getting herself burned. Drinking hard, keeping low, powder smoking, playing cards will take that toll on your soul when you're running from the law. Check your back, boys, check your back. Where can you run from the things you've done? Saddlebags of gold will never buy back your soul. What good is fame in the outlaw game when you're going to bed with a price on your head? And who are you when any name will do?
All about Butch Cassidy, When Any Name Will Do by Mary Kay. And that was an award winner also, Mary Kay. I believe it won the Spur Award for Best Western Song in 2013.
Yeah, it did. It was pretty exciting.
And that award is given by the is that Western Writers Association?
Western
Writers of America.
Yeah, Western Writers of America.
Yeah, yeah, that's very exciting. So we always ask this question. I'm going to ask you first, and then we're going to ask Joe. Do you get writer's block? And if you do, what do you do about it?
I wish I could say I do. I think that for me, starting songs is easy. Finishing them is hard. And that's really all it takes. It just takes concerted effort to sit down and work on things. My creative process is a lot of getting up and doing a few other things and then sitting back down. But if I put my head down, I can generally get through a song, and it's better for the work than if I had waited for inspiration, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Does the tune come first and then lyrics, or vice versa, or just there's no
set way? It can happen either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can happen either way. Sometimes the melody will come first, and then I'll look through my notes to see what thought or ideas would fit that particular melody, and vice versa. Sometimes, you know, I have, you know, words that I must have music to, and so I create the music from the lyrics, so...
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love songwriting. I've actually been holding myself back from writing for about, I finished writing songs for a Christmas album that came out, was completed in December. Mm-hmm. And I've not been writing on purpose. I've been taking notes and preparing, gearing up for a new album. But this year I've really worked hard at honoring the body of work that I've already done, trying to create music videos and mm-hmm. just doing more to kind of revisit my older material. But I am ramping up for a new album, and I'm incredibly excited. It's my favorite thing to do. It's like having a brand new, beautiful baby.
Well, we'll want to hear more about that. Joe, how about you? Do you do you deal with writer's block?
I do, but I guess every writer does at some point, at some stage. For me, I just keep writing. And the beauty of modern technology, writing on a computer, is, for me, a rule is I never throw anything away. I just push it down and keep pushing it down, because I may find that I can use something down there that mm-hmm. I pushed down there at some point in time. But if I keep writing, I find myself getting back in the groove and getting back on track, and first thing you know, the material starts getting good again, and I'm proceeding forward. For the most part, though, my problem is stopping. When I get started, I just want to, my brain just starts going 100 miles an hour, and I can't stop. And I'll just keep going and keep going until I get a complete thought down, and then I want to get away from it for a while. And then I'll come back the next day mm-hmm. and see if I even like it anymore. So I guess that's kind of the way it works for me.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense for both of your answers. We love to ask that question, obviously, and we love to hear the answers. Everybody has some different way that they get through, we have learned, a writer's block. Mary Kay, where can people find you? You are doing some wonderful video blogging and such. Where can they check out your body of work?
The easiest thing to do is just Google Mary Kay Western Singer, and Kay is spelled K-A-Y-E, and that will pull up my website and Facebook. I have a lot of fun on Facebook. I have fun on Instagram. I try and stay very connected with people and on both of those social media platforms. And my website, it gets lots of love and attention too. So we love for people to sign up on my email list. And we when they do that, we say that they've joined our email list, our email family, mm-hmm. because it helps us stay connected. I travel so much, and if you're in my email list family, then if I'm coming to your neighborhood, we send you an email and let you know I'll be there. And every time I go somewhere, we're meeting friends from social media and from my website email list. It's pretty exciting. It's mm-hmm. a brand new, brave world we live in.
It is. It is. And Joe, what about you?
Pretty much the same. If you Google my name and Western Storyteller, you'll get my website, and you'll get Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. Although I'm just learning how to use those social media sites. For a long time, I resisted that, thinking that that's juvenile. But then actually, Junie Fisher kind of straightened me out on that. And so I'm learning to use that stuff now on a professional level. And I'm finding that, my goodness, I can reach a lot of people with that.
Yes, I was excited to be able to tag you and have, you know, things show up. And so, Mary Kay, if you're not yet friends with Joe, you'll have to find each other on Facebook.
I know. I noticed that, actually. And I just recently, I was like, wow, Joe's on here.
Yes, just it is. It's very recent. We are so delighted that you were both with us tonight. And Mary Kay, I'm going to go out on Grit, Grace, and Balin Twine. Tell us a little bit about this song.
All right. It's inspired by the ranching families that I live around and near. And it really expresses my life as an independent artist as well. You're just living on faith, living from day to day, and it's just about the kind of grit it takes to live this kind of life.
In a wonderful, upbeat kind of way, and it did win the most recent Academy of Western Artists Song of the Year, I believe, right?
Oh, it was so exciting, yeah. That's pretty cool.
So we thank you so much for being with us. We wish you happy trails. We know you're on your way, making some music along the way. We will see you Wednesday night, April 19th, at the Main Theater in Old Town Newhall with Joe Harrington. And you don't know how many people are waiting to see you.
So excited. So excited to see you, Joe. We'll see you next Wednesday.
Yes, looking forward to it.
And here's a little Grit, Grace, and Balin Twine.
Thanks, Bobby. I'll find out.
They say there's two kinds of folks. Ones wear boots and the ones that don't. I believe, darling, you and me hold steady in the boot category. Goodbye, city life and 9-to-5 living. Our corporate meetings are held in our kitchen. You can't beat our sweet retirement plan. Don't get sick, work as long as you can. This is how we hang and rattle, raising our kids and raising cattle. Let loose on a Saturday night, two-step under neon lights. Our life's a good kind of crazy, keep it together, you and me, baby. 'Cause the trick of the trade when life and wine is grit, grace, and Balin Twine. Make it pay, you gotta roll with the seasons. Make do or do without knowing to sell and when to keep. Our best insurance is in making do. Duct tape, utter balm, and super glue. Give us this crazy life with nothing at all. Our American dream delivered with a draw. That's right, y'all.
Mm-hmm.